Well, let me pray over this word, because I believe I do have a word. It's called living water. Maybe that's why appropriately it's raining today. So we may need to go outside and get this message, you know, to really get the full effect. But let's pray and God will give us what he wants this morning. Well, Father God, I thank you, God, that you are the living water. And Lord God, that we want to receive everything that you desire to give. And we thank you, God, that it's raining in the natural. But God, we pray, let it rain in the supernatural. Your spirit upon your people. That God, we would learn how to get drenched and be okay. We would learn how to play in the puddles again. To be kids, to love, to be in the rain. And Lord God, the rain of your presence, your spirit, Lord. And I just pray, God, that this morning that you could use me to give forth your word, your living word that could be life. Even one thing, God, that people can take from here today that would be life-giving to them and would bless them and help them in their walk with you and to connect stronger with you. We ask that in your holy name. Amen. Well, this morning I've got some water. I've got some water that I'm drinking, but then I've got this unopened bottle of water here. Now, is anybody here presently thirsty? Is anybody presently thirsty? Okay, nobody's really thirsty. You've got your own water. You see, it's tough. It's tough. You know, but I've got this water, and probably nobody's really necessarily thirsty because you probably know something. You probably just go over to our fellowship hall, and there's water there. You can get water. There's bottled water. There's cooler water, of cold water. So probably not too much demand right now as far as your thirst is concerned. Now, if I sit up here and I had a water and somebody was a little bit thirsty, I might say, well, I'm going to charge you $1 for this water, right? And you might say, well, I'm thirsty, but no, thank you, because I already know there's water I can get for free. I don't need your water for $1, even though I might be a little bit thirsty. Now, how much you would pay for water really depends, right? It really depends. Because if you were working outside on a hot day and you did not have any bottled water or whatnot in your house, and you were getting to the end of your work and you were very thirsty, and you're like, okay, I need some water here, but you didn't have any in your house, say, and then you just said the closest thing is a convenience store, and at the convenience store, it costs $2, right? Maybe something like that. It costs $2, but you know you can go to the grocery store, but that's going to be like miles more, right? Miles more to go to the grocery store, and you want water right now. So you're okay with paying $2, right? Most of you ever been in a convenience store, you know it's a little bit more than you want to pay, but it's okay. I'm thirsty. I'm gonna pay $2. Now there also could be the situation, and you probably had this situation too, where you're in the movie theater, right? And you ate a lot of popcorn, the salty popcorn that they put a lot of that yellow salt on. And so you're parched. You're thirsty because of how much popcorn you ate, and Coke's not going to do, okay? Because Coke actually makes you thirstier. You know, there's a lot of sodium in Coke. It just makes you thirstier. It's satisfying when you drink it, but then at the end of it, you're like more thirsty than you were before. So that's not going to do. So it's true. It's true. It's true. You need that refreshing water to truly refresh your body. And you realize that at the movie theater, they want to charge you $5 because they know something that if you need water right then and there, you're not going to leave the theater. They probably won't even let you come back in because they have you cornered, right? They have you cornered in the movie theater. And so you don't like it, but you're thirsty. And so, right, you'd probably pay the $5 for the water, right? Even though you're thinking, no, that's not what I want to pay. Now, okay, that's that situation. Now you're in the desert. Now you're walking through the desert and you've run out of water. And you're looking around and you don't see any water. There's no oasis. There's no place. There's no cactuses that you could do that survival thing where you can like cut a cactus and drink from a cactus. There's nothing like that. You're without water. And you're very, very thirsty. And it's actually kind of a desperate thirst. And here you see a man on a camel coming through the desert. And you stop him. And he actually has water with him. He actually has this cooler and he has water. And you say, can I have some water? And he says, well, sure, but it's going to cost you $100. $100. And you look at him and you're like, and you may not like this person. You think, wow, this person is an absolute thief. I'm here. I'm thirsty. I need water. He's going to charge me $100. But you have $100. You have it in your pocket. And so what will you do? Well, you're really thirsty. And now this is the case of life or death at this point, because you know if you continue in this desert and you don't have water, it's a very serious thing. So you look at the $100 and you say, you know what? This water is worth the $100 because I need this water for life. So really, water can be worth whatever the situation demands. Whatever the situation demands. Because you would pay $100 for this water, or maybe more, if your life depended on it. So it's interesting how we can look and see the value of something. Now, let's think about this. You would pay $100 for that water in a desert, because at that point, it's not about the money. You probably don't even care about the money. If you have it, you'll be free from that money, $100, but you'll have the water that you need. It's not about what's economically justifiable. So if you're in your intellect says, no, 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 your body and your thirst is saying, it doesn't matter. I've got to have this water. It has nothing to do with whether you like the man. It comes down to one simple thing, and that is life. That is life, where living becomes the issue. You know, Jesus said a lot about water. I think we could look throughout the Bible. I could even look at all the mentions of the Bible where Jesus talks about the water and the Bible speaks about it. But I want to look at one place in John 4:7. John 4:7, he has a conversation about water. And you probably know this conversation really well. It's a woman at the well in Samaria. Because you see, Jesus is passing through Samaria, going from Jerusalem to Galilee. Kind of when you do that, the best way to go is through Samaria. And of course, if we know anything about Samaria, we know that Samaritan people are kind of a not a good word, but they're a mixed breed, right? But not in a good way. In a religious sense, they were Jews who had lost their full identity as Jews because they had mixed with foreign nations. And so they were no longer pure Jews. And that was pretty serious to them back at the time, right? Because we know they didn't associate with each other. Jews didn't speak to Samaritans. These Sumerian people? No. Because it was not, we would almost say kosher. It was not socially acceptable to do. And so, but here's Jesus in the middle of the day. The middle of the day, it says noon time. And he speaks to this woman who's coming to the well to fill her jars, her containers of water. And it's the well, and we'll find out, it's the well that Jacob, their forefathers, had dug. So let's pick up the story. When a woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had already gone to buy food in the town, so they were sent away. They were off getting food, so Jesus was alone. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman." "How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." I believe that's the last. Eternal life. So what was Jesus offering this woman at the well? The conversation centered around water, right? But he had nothing to draw with. And yet he's asking her for this water. But Jesus was not offering water on this day. He was offering life. Yet this resource that we all need was the perfect conversation to have, to speak of what he wanted to speak about to this woman. We all need it. She needed it. She certainly needed it that day, because that's what she was there for. She was there to get water. She was there every day to get water. It was the common practice to fill your water jars up for the day and then go and take it in to do whatever you need to do for drinking, for cleaning, whatever it need, whatever that you need it for. And then you would return the next day. We know we can't live without water. We probably take that for granted, but we can't live without water. But it's certainly a person who says that I've got to go to the well to get water every day and carry that weight on my shoulders in the hot sun, you probably appreciate it a whole lot more when you have to work hard to get it. You probably realize the value of that water more so than when it's so easily available as it is to us. So Jesus talks to her about water, something that would absolutely make sense to her, because she was thirsty. She was thirsty for water. Again, it's noontime. It's the hot part of the day. And she was coming to take care of her household, but she was coming to also fulfill her thirst. Now, Jesus asked her a question, and it exposes some of the reasons why she is there at noon all alone to begin with. She asked her about her husband and says, I want to talk to you, but I want to talk to your husband. I want to talk to you together. And of course, the woman that continued the story is the woman says, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, that's true. You don't have a husband. In fact, you've had five husbands, and the man that you're with now is not your husband. So Jesus exposes something very clearly. Of course, she understood, well, if you know all this about me, then you must be a prophet. You must have knowledge that did not come from you, but came from God, a true prophet of God. So she's starting to recognize something that's special about this man who's asking her for water that she thinks is very, very strange, by the way. And it is strange that Jesus is asking her, even talking to her to begin with. But she had come alone in the heat. And it was understood that she was really a social outcast. Because normally, women would have gone socially together in a group, and they would have gone in the morning time, in the cool of the day, but she was coming alone. So Jesus exposes something, and the reason why she's even there by herself in noon to begin with. Because something with her life has been, well, quite disappointing along the way, and we don't know. People say, well, maybe she married five times and all five of them died. Probably not likely. Probably not likely. Most likely she had been divorced or some kind of immoral activity, but even the fact that she's living with a man now, that no one even wants to marry her, she's in a desperate situation where, you know, she needs somebody to take her into a home, because women didn't own property in those times, in those days. So I think she's thirsty for more than just water here. I think she's thirsty for acceptance. I think she's thirsty for true companionship. Because again, maybe the companionship she has now is just out of a sense of desperation to have something in her life. I think she's thirsty even for a different life altogether, because I would say she's probably disappointed with how her life has turned out. Because who would want that life of five different husbands and then a sixth that's not, that won't even give you his name? So Jesus is offering her something that she doesn't know about. And at first, she's like, what kind of water is this? I'll take it. If it will keep me from having to come out here every day at noon, I'll take it. Show me this water. So it's interesting her that there is such a thing, but she doesn't know about this water. But she's thinking more about her creature comforts than anything. But you see, when Jesus asks the question about her husband, he knows. But he's touching her brokenness. He's putting his hand in a wound. He's putting his hand upon a brokenness where she's literally broken on the inside. So it's very sensitive. She doesn't get offended, but she listens because she is already intrigued by this water. So here it is, a Jew offering a broken Samaritan woman life. Life. Because Jesus says it's living water that will create an eternal spring within you. Now we know something about this water. We know that Jesus offers it to everyone, and that's part of this story, by the way. The fact that Jesus is offering it to this woman, he's not even supposed to be talking to, really. And in fact, when the disciples return, they question him, like, why are you talking to this Samaritan woman? It confuses them. It confuses them. But here, Jesus comes back to and saying, I'm offering life, and I'm offering life to the ones who are on the margins, to the ones who are in the most desperate situations, the ones who are broken, the ones who their life has been extremely disappointing, that they want a different life, and you know what? I can give them a different life. So we sometimes say Jesus is the friend of sinners, and we see that in this picture when Jesus offers himself to that which is not really socially acceptable. You know, Jesus does this because he has to challenge a lot of thinking in that day. And just as Jesus challenges our own thinking as well, that salvation is not just for those who are pretty good, kind of good, live a fairly moral life, but for those who are far off and on the margins. And honestly, you would say, in no sense do they deserve. But yet, Jesus says, no, yes, this lady I give, living water, she has from me. And so here's the thing. God's saying this to us. And there's a saying from Blaise Pascal about our thirst and our hunger. If you know who he was a mathematician, a philosopher from the 1600s. He says, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator. I believe this woman had a thirst. She had that thirst in her, as do we all if we recognize that we have a thirst. But what we don't realize is what she didn't realize is that there was something called living water that could actually satisfy her in a way that nothing else could. I think we live long enough, we know there's a lot of things in this life that simply just won't satisfy. And we have a thirst on the inside of us that the things of this world won't do. So people have a longing inside of them. There's emptiness that needs to be filled. And many of us have experienced this as well. But people can drink of wells of this world, and they seek wells of this world to fill it. To feel that emptiness on the inside, we see it every day. People are searching, people are seeking, people are longing, people are wanting to have something to fill the emptiness on the inside. They have a thirst. They have a thirst inside of them. Our thirst and appetites can lead us down strange pathways. As some of us have probably experienced in life, how we have gone down some very weird directions in life because of our thirst and our appetites, because we're in need. We want something to satisfy us, yet what we often find is that we're not fulfilled. People find this every day, that what they think will satisfy them in the end doesn't fully fulfill them. It leaves them thirsty once again. People will spend a lot of money. People will spend a lot of time. People will spend a lot of resources giving their lives to have what they're thirsty for. And we can believe it. We, in our belief system, we believe that what we're seeking after will satisfy us. We can be in full belief. We see people all the time. And we've probably also been under that mindset where we believe what we're after, it will absolutely satisfy us. But it's not God. So out to the well we go. Out to the well we go over and over and over again. Well, that inward dissatisfaction can speak loud and clear. And it's a great place to meet people, just as Jesus meets the woman at the well. It's a great place to meet people where people have done this, they've done that, but they really aren't satisfied, to speak to them about a Jesus who can satisfy their greatest hunger, their greatest thirst in life. And it's not just, I just need a bill paid. I just need a desperate situation resolved. I just need this. I just need that. But there's something much deeper, something so much greater that each and every one of us needs. And there's a great significance to the source of what we're looking to. And this is what people miss. They miss the true source. And this is what we can help people with, to find the true source. Because if we know it, if we know about this well of living water, then we can speak simply to people to say, you don't have the right source. You don't have living water. What you have is just temporary. It just temporarily satisfies your thirst, but you'll be back here tomorrow. You'll be back to this well tomorrow because you'll be thirsty again. But what Jesus offers you, what Jesus offers all of us and for this world, is to give us something that satisfies the depths of our soul. That we could find something, a love, a blessing, a presence of God that fills us in a way that nothing else can. So people miss it. They're missing the source. And we have to be careful, for those who know the source, we have to be careful to not lose focus, to lose our focus upon the source. Because it happens to any and all of us. We have to be careful not to replace the source with anything of this world. We have to be careful not to allow materialism to give us a satisfaction and a comfort to where we are losing sight of our true source. I mean, today, if we had a stock market crash and there was a Great Depression that all of a sudden took over America, some people are talking about that. Say your 401k is half of what it was today and it's half tomorrow. For some people, that would send them into a dizzying effect, and it would send them into a mind-boggling, like, oh no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And if that's your source and that's your comfort, oh wow, it's going to cause a lot of problems. Now, it would be disappointing. There's no doubt about it. It would cause us some emotional stirrings. But is it your source? No, it's not your source. Jesus is your source. Because we know if Jesus is our source, we always have that comfort, even when things go really badly. Even when life goes really crazy, even when it seems like America's falling apart and there's just crazy stuff happening all around us. But if our source is Him, then we don't have to lose peace. We don't have to lose peace because we know and we're connected to our source. We don't lose focus and start believing that something else might be our source. It might be Jesus plus something else or something else plus Jesus. But that's not. I mean, think of the days when people had no insurance. It didn't exist. There was no such a thing as insurance. Think of the days when there was no retirement account. There was no Social Security. I mean, really? I mean, what was it? Franklin Delano Roosevelt, right? During his days? Before that, they didn't exist. You just better have family members who loved you, right? It was a different day and a different time. But to know Jesus is really all that we need. Because He's the one who provides. He's the one who takes care. He's the one who's the shepherd of our soul. And those things are helpful. They're blessings. Just as having a home and having cars and having food in our refrigerator, they're all blessings. And they're provisions. And they're good. But they're not our true source. So we always have to be careful if we ever derivate or get away from our true source. Smith Wigglesworth just had an interesting quote. I thought it was interesting in a message he had on the rivers of living water. And he says this about focus. He says, if you're focused on yourself, then you will be natural. But if you look at God, you will be supernatural. I'll say it again just so we get that, and I'll talk about that. But it says, if you are focused on yourself, you will be natural. But if you look at God, you will be supernatural. I kind of believe what he's saying there is that, like, the natural man, the natural woman, the mankind, as you say, we look at our natural circumstances, and we look at us. We look at what we have, what we don't have. We look at our circumstances, and we look. That's where we look. We look intently upon that. And so oftentimes what we really have at that point is just only natural. Because that's how we see things, how we view things, how we come at things. And it becomes just a natural mind. And so sometimes when we see what we need and what we don't need, we try to figure it out. Okay, I had this need, I'm going to go here. I'm going to find it here. Or I'm going to go and find it here. I have a relational need, I'll find it here. I'll have a physical need, I'll find it here. And so we can figure things out in the natural. And that's not a terrible thing. But sometimes what it misses simply is that to looking to God. To looking to God. And letting God be our supernatural. To bring us to a different way of looking at life altogether. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to bring our whole selves. With all of our needs, all of our wants, all of our desires, everything that we are, to bring it to Him. And this is where we experience this amazingness of God, where we're not trying to just look at ourselves and figure everything out. We're looking to God and saying, God, you've already got it figured out. See, we actually have a belief there that says, God, you already have it figured out. You know the blessings, the goodness that you want me to walk in. You know that all that I need. You know what I need more than I know what I need. And I'm looking to you. You're my source. You're my provider. You are all that I need. Does God want you to have a car? Yes. Go drive a car. Does God want you to have a house? Absolutely. He wants to bless us. See, that's the other part, is when we get a theology of like, I'm not sure if God really wants to bless me, then we can pull back and say, well, let me take care of my natural needs on my own. Let me figure it out. But when we know that God really wants to bless us, we can easily go into Him and say, you're my source, Lord. You are what I need. And I don't want to replace you with anything. Jesus said this also to people at a feast. I'm just going to want to cover this just briefly. It's a couple verses, John 7, 37 through 38. I won't give it its full treatment, but he's at the Feast of Tabernacles. He's in Jerusalem, and it's on the eighth day. He stands up to speak to the people. And the Feast of Tabernacles, if we know anything about that, it's the time of remembrance. It's the time of remembrance how God had provided for the Israelites while they were in the desert wandering. They wandered in the desert for 40 years, but God provided for them. God took care of their needs. Now they didn't drive beautiful cars and they didn't have abundance, but God took care of them. And of course, it was a wilderness season. It was a wilderness season, which I say all of us have been through at some point in our life. And I think there's a point to our wilderness seasons. And that has to do with the source. But he's at this festival. And let me pick up in verse 37. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. He says, come to me. I'm your source. Drink of me. I will satisfy your thirst. This is what he speaks to us. And he's really saying, because if we remember what happened in the desert in those 40 years, and the Feast of Tabernacles celebrates that, is that they were, that at one point in time, God brought them to this desert place where there was no water. There was no water. They were wandering out of Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land, but they hadn't got there. They were far from it, and they were in their days of wandering in the wilderness, and there they were in this desert with no water. And God, and they cry out. They get upset. They get upset at God, and they get upset at Moses, and actually they do some things they shouldn't have done. They question God's integrity and God's even care for them. But God says, Moses, take your staff, strike the rock, and I will let water flow for these people. And God provided water out of a rock. As Moses struck the rock and the water flew. Absolutely, this rock, absolutely. And Jesus is saying on this eighth day, and by the way, number eight is a number of new beginnings. It's a number of new beginnings. And when Jesus is up there and saying, to these people who are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, who are celebrating this understanding of Jesus, and they're saying, understand the rock and the rock, and they're doing all this celebration around this where God was providing for them and letting the waters flow even in that desert season. Jesus saying is, I am He. I am the rock. I am the one in which the water flows. I am your provision. I am your supply. I am what you need. So when He is saying this on the eighth day, He's saying, I am a fulfillment of what God was showing Israel in that time, in that place. And He's saying, right now, I'm fulfilling that. So come to Me and drink. I am the rock. And He says that to us today. He says, I am the rock. Come to Me and drink, for it is living water. It will give you life and life to the full. So that is good news. It's probably also good news that when you go home today and you turn on your spigots and your faucets, there's going to be water, right? Does anybody expect when you go home today that there's not going to be water when you open your tap? Right? You have every expectation that there's going to be water in your house. Unless you didn't pay the bill, right? Or unless there's a drought. Well, there's not a drought. Praise God. We have an abundance of rain in Richmond, Virginia. We're not out in some desert place. There's an abundance of water. So when you expect when you go home that the water is going to be there. There's no doubt in your mind. So it's kind of simple, you know? Because we're connected with a source, right? You're connected with the city, or you have a connection wherever you're at. You have a connection, and you know there's water there. You know there's a connection that flows water into your house. And it's so important for us to realize that spiritually we have that connection. We don't want to take it for granted. Something we might take for granted that we have water flowing in our house. And hopefully we'll never have to face a time or a place where that won't be true. But disconnects can happen in our lives. Not because we didn't pay the bill. Disconnects can happen. Sometimes it's just as simply becoming distracted in life. Where we become too busy with the things of this life. We become too busy with all the things that we've got to do. It's almost that tyranny of the urgent. I can't spend time with the Lord because I've got this, and this new. And we become so busy in life that from the time we wake up, we're just thinking about all the things that we have to do. Maybe we're worried. Maybe we're not worried. But maybe we're just busy. You can get so busy that you forget to go to your source. That you can forget to connect. If you do that enough days and enough time, you might actually start to realize that inside your soul, there's some thirst going on. Because you're not connecting with the source. It's there. Just turn on the tap. Just turn it on. And we do that daily because we need Him daily. And He supplies. You know what it's like to try to handle a day without Jesus. It will run you ragged because you're doing it on your own strength. But you also know what it's like to get before Him, to let His Word feed you, to give praise to Him, to connect with Him. And then you know what it's like to go in that office and say, I'm not worried. There may be probably problems waiting for me, but I'm not worried. Because He's more than enough. He's in me. And you feel it. You could feel the effects of the living water flowing in you. I would say if you don't know what that's like, then it's time to get connected more so. Because sometimes as Christians, we do get to places sometimes where we're just doing the drip, 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 drip. And that's all we're getting. We're just getting drips. And God doesn't want us just to have drips. He wants us to have a flow of living water where our thirst is fully satisfied. So don't let the enemy distract you to get you to where your flow is getting disconnected or it's getting reduced greatly. You know, I think desert seasons can be wonderful for us because it can sometimes make us recognize how thirsty we are for God. And I think sometimes when we're in seasons of plenty, we don't recognize it as much because we have all this great stuff in life. But when we're in the desert season of life, sometimes we recognize that, oh God, I'm thirsty. And we come to that realization of like, no, Lord, I need you. Like, I really need you. My thirst is getting to the point where I would pay $100 for a bottle of water. But the good news is the water that flows from the rock is free. It's free. But it requires us to come, to connect, and to let that river flow in us. Don't let your river stop flowing. Well, God is good, and sometimes he wants to remind us, and maybe just remind us. And sometimes, and I say remind us because sometimes it's so subtle. It is so subtle. It can be just a slight shift of where we've just kind of just gotten a little bit off. But the call is to come back. There's another word I just wanted to give today, and that has to do with, as much as distractions can take place in life, also fear and anxiety can do the same thing. Fear and anxiety can do the same thing. Because we're getting too worried about the circumstances and things in life and what's happening. And the Greek word for that is myrmnao. And the Greek word for anxiety is really, it means to separate or divide. To separate or divide from the whole. So the idea is anxiousness causes separation in our lives. It causes fragmentation in us. And you get it when you feel that on the inside. When you're really anxious on the inside, you feel like you're kind of all over the place. And it creates a division in us. That's why Jesus says, Paul is saying actually in Philippians 4:6, he says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be fragmented in your life about anything, because there's a source in Christ that you have, that you don't need to be anxious about anything. You don't need to be fragmented or divided on the inside. Frank, he goes on, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, because he's our source. He's our source, and he'll provide. There's just times in life as Christians where we need to stop and we need to take time to say, God, how is my connection with you? Am I living off of a drip? Am I living off of a tiny little stream? Or God, am I allowing the full flow of what you want in my life? And those times we just need to stop and reconnect, to come to the Father, to surrender ourselves before him, to get before him, and it's time with him. It's time with him. Sometimes you can't replace that. The time, 10 minutes can be wonderful with God, but sometimes it says, I need more. Stay more. Stay longer. Stay longer in my presence. Don't have to quickly go away. Shut off your phone. Don't let text messages interrupt you. Don't let the busyness of what you have to do that day. Just write it down, but spend time with the Lord. And that's one tool I've learned. You're spending time with the Lord and a thought comes to you of what you need to do, just write it down on a to-do list and leave it there. It'll be there when you come, when you finish. It'll be there. It always is. It's just those things where we don't allow a hindrance to the kind of flow we need with God. Sometimes we have to ask for forgiveness for allowing other sources to start taking the place of God as our source. Every Christian runs into this. Every Christian faces this. And that time of reconnection is so important. It's a yielded life with God. It's a yielded life with the Lord, spending time in his presence and allowing that river to just flow, to fill you up. And you'll feel it. It's tangible to be filled with the very presence of God. And if it's not, we say, Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty, Lord. I need water. I need you. We need crying out to him. He will satisfy your thirst.